This is Mark Waite, editor-in-chief of Boom Studios, and you're listening to The Dollar Bin.
So, yes, so we are here at Richard's Comics and Collectibles in Greenville, South Carolina.
The award-winning Richard Comics and Collectibles.
Yes. What award was that, Brennan?
Best of the Upstate.
That's correct. We are here with Brennan. Let's chat. Brennan, what'd you read?
This week?
Yeah.
I hate to admit it, but I read Hulk.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Like the Red Hulk? Or?
Yeah, Rolk.
Rolk. Wasn't Thor tossing in a guest spot in that?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah. Well, I guess. It's kind of, I heard Trey talking on an earlier show about how Morrison needs to be reined in. Loeb needs a straitjacket.
You don't like Loeb in general.
No, I'm beyond that. This was like maybe one of the worst comics I've ever read. It
wow.
was so bad. I don't know. If I go into it too deep, it's going to be half an hour about a stupid comic.
Did you also pick it up, D?
No.
Oh.
I just saw it. That was enough for me.
Did you read anything you enjoyed last week?
Invincible Iron Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey.
It's been a good book, surprisingly so.
I wouldn't mind being a bomb.
That would be pretty cool.
Just because
having ET lights in your fingers?
Yeah.
That'd be
just because you want a little glowy thing in your chest, or...
I wouldn't mind having a glowy thing in my chest.
Pepper's not a bomb. She's a battery.
I know, yeah.
Oh, well, that's okay then.
Oh, a battery.
I like it now.
Yeah. Who can levitate?
That was a quick change, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Just take it out of me. I'd rather die than be a bomb. Oh, you're a battery. Oh.
Well, that's better. Yeah.
That's kind of, look, I'm floating. Awesome.
Yeah. I still don't like Fraction's continuity with Pepper Potts, though.
Kind of who she is now.
Because, like, everything else in the book doesn't fit Iron Man movie continuity. It fits Iron Man comic continuity. He's director of S.H.I.E.L.D., all the stuff with Civil War that happened, all the ongoing stuff.
Yeah.
But at the end of Civil War, she's not working for him anymore. She hates him because of what happened with her actual boyfriend, Happy, who's dead now. But he just inserted, like, Marvel movie continuity to deal with the Pepper stuff.
Basically.
Yeah.
Well, he even told us from the beginning that that's basically what he was trying to do anyway, was, switch some things around in order to make Tony Stark a likable character again and, like, kind of undo whatever.
Yeah. And besides, I'd rather read about Pepper than Maria Hill.
Oh,
she's
yeah.
She's in there, too, though.
I mean, she's in there, too, but she's always been kind of his sidekick character in the Director of S.H.I.E.L.D. book. I'd rather read about Pepper than a secondary character.
Speaking of movie continuity, where's our Viva Las Vegas at?
It came out this week.
Yeah.
Number
two.
Get it out.
It did not get too greatly reviewed.
Richard's
though.
Had it. Where did you go?
How'd I miss that?
I thought it was all right.
I hadn't read it yet.
I really dig that guy.
I kind of forgot what happened in the first issue because it's been so long.
Yeah. I mean, I really dig that guy's artwork.
I remember Fang Fang Foom showing up.
Yeah, Fang Fang Foom, man. Yeah.
Man, dang old Fang Fang Foom.
And dang old dragon.
You mortal gonna die.
I mean, I kind of like Favreau's characterization of their relationship better than Fraction's.
He's not a bad writer. I was kind of surprised.
I wonder if it's so late coming out because he's not doing it, or is the art slow, or is Marvel releasing it slow on purpose?
Well, from the look of the art, it's got to take some time.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really polished.
I wonder if he's going to explain why Fing Fang Foom looks like that as opposed to being an actual dragon.
It looks like a Japanese anime figure. And he kind of has armored Iron Man plates on him.
But it's supposed to be the same dragon because he knows who Iron Man is, but Iron Man didn't recognize him when he was unveiled.
That's true.
Maybe it's just the spirit of the dragon.
Did you take one of our Dollar Bin books?
Yes.
Are you taking that home with you?
No, I just wanted something to fondle.
Okay.
It's funny, I brought one today too.
What, something to fondle or the book?
I always
carry something to fondle.
Devin, have you had a chance to read anything yet?
The Iron Man's the only thing I read.
In fact,
I didn't even make my trip to my regular shop. I went to the snobby shop to specifically just to pick up Iron Man.
Yeah.
Because you knew they wouldn't have it.
I didn't want to wait on it. No, they actually had it for me. I couldn't wait. I went and picked it up.
Who did the blue and red cover to Invincible Iron Man 4? Gabriel Delotto? He's doing the covers for Secret Invasion too.
I don't know, but
I think
that's the one I got.
Yeah,
I want to see that guy do a whole issue, because we said that about Marko Djurdjevic. We wanted to see him do a whole issue, and then he ended up just penciling it with normal coloring rather than the painting that makes it look good.
Right.
I would like to see
See, if Stilato
can do it.
Fistala would be the same way.
Yeah. You know, I didn't bring that Iron Man with me. When we were talking about Invincible Iron Man, I didn't really like the art.
Really?
I didn't like it.
I like it.
I didn't like the way it looked.
He's
it might
have
been
forth,
the ink,
though.
It might have
He's
been the coloring
always...
on it, but I didn't like the way it looked because I liked his previous Invincible Iron Man's. For some reason, this one didn't sit right with me for some reason. I don't know why, but I usually like his work.
I think he can't decide how he draws Tony. Always looks pretty solid, but
Brian, you read anything? Want to talk about a DC book?
I don't want to talk about Final Crisis anymore. It's just so bad, it's not worth mentioning.
Third one was just as bad.
It didn't go anywhere. It still doesn't make any sense. It's like little tiny segments of stories that even if you're following all of them, you don't know where they're going.
You're almost halfway through.
And the cover, the J.G. Jones Supergirl cover is sweet. And she's in the book for a panel talking to her cat.
Okay.
And my favorite line out of it, though, is one of the last pages, Wally and Barry Allen have been running through the Speed Force or Quantum Leaping with Scott Bakula or something. And... Barry Allen actually has a line where he says, "Wally, I was dead. Why did I have to come back?" And I was like, "Exactly." Yeah. Once again, Grant Morrison, you've crystallized my thoughts exactly.
I'd like to remind the readership or listenership that my challenge still stands to anybody who can tell me how I can distinguish one Flash from the next. I have not heard an answer on that.
I will say I've brought that up a couple times in our show, and none of them have made the cut. I've had to cut it out of the show every time. But we have had the discussion a few times.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not reading the books, you can't. But I would say Marvel doesn't do that. Marvel doesn't really have lineage characters that have replaced multiple people.
This is true. There's not multiple people wearing the same cape and cowl, so to speak.
So I think that would always be the same way. They're still wearing the same outfit, which there's only slight alterations to the outfit, and that just depends on who's drawing it.
Well, now I just read on there with the Flash Rebirth, whichever one, I think Barry is going to be back doing the normal Flash.
Right.
Wally is getting a new costume to help distinguish between them.
Yeah. It's going to be yellow and red.
He's going to be the new Zoom? Man, that would piss people off. Wow, that would piss people off. Yeah, I mean, if you're not reading the books until they make some sort of change, like you can distinguish the current Robin from the other Robins just because they gave him a really different dated outfit.
The Robin costume now looks a lot better than the Namor leotard did.
Yeah,
hey, the '50s were a different time. but when they launched Jason Todd as Robin originally, there was no difference because there didn't want there to be any difference. He was exactly the same character, but if you aren't reading, you don't know what made him different when they decided to give him his own personality, basically, that everybody hated and then voted to have him die because they didn't like it.
At least he died getting smashed in the face with a hammer.
I guess the correlation that I put to it is, if you weren't picking up Iron Man when Tony Stark was an alcoholic and Rodney was in the
suit, you wouldn't
know
Rhodey.
You wouldn't know that there was a difference just by Iron Man. I kind of think the Flash
is
the same way.
There isn't any Afro sticking out of the bottom of the helmet.
which would be awesome. If he gave the Iron Man helmet like dreadlocks or something.
Or if he took the helmet off and he had a helmet imprint in his Afro.
The helmet Afro'd out. Somebody said that to Fraction. I see you have Criminal on your stack.
I do.
Don't talk about it. I haven't read it yet.
I haven't read it either. Don't do that. Don't do that. I've been reading the trades, and I just read Volume 3, and I'm quite happy.
I've been saving it. I don't think anything really good came out DC this past week that I can think of. Okay. Nope. You go in the other room to talk about
it. You really want
to
talk about it, don't you? Don't do
it. That's why I brought it. I was like, God, I'm going to be with Brandon and Devin and Brian. I know they all read Criminal.
Nope.
I'm saving it.
That's one of the ones you cherish. You wait.
I read it last night, right before. That was the last book I read last night.
How have you guys enjoyed Old Man Logan so far?
I haven't picking up. I'm Wolverine'd out. I'm on the Wolverine band.
It's been whatever for me. I mean, I'm like going to continue to read it. And I'm going to... It's just... I don't get it, I guess. I don't think you're supposed to get it yet.
Yeah.
I like the art and everything. I just don't get it. And I'm going to continue to read it. It's not chasing me away or anything. But I just don't get it.
It's really impressed me, actually.
Yeah, the art.
The flashback scenes, there would just be one panel of him 50 years ago getting torn to beep by by like five of the villains, and you don't know what happened.
Yeah.
And it's just enough to make you to show that it's a bad enough memory, like, that he won't talk about it.
Somehow they broke him or something. Yeah. Is what, yeah.
And like the imagination scene where he rips open one of Banner's grandchildren, and then it goes back to he was just thinking about doing it, but he's like, no.
Hawkeye's a nut job.
It's awesome. And he's blind.
Yeah.
Blind archer. How
and
cool is that?
Apparently he's also a swordsman now as well. So well, he's like Rutger Hauer in whatever that movie
is. He's a swordsman, obviously.
He's had a long time to learn the sword. It's been 50 years.
He was Ronin.
This is true.
Oh, yeah.
He's good at nunchucks. Why not a sword? They're driving the spider buggy. Come on.
Yeah. That's awesome. I know. There's some really interesting factors in it. I would like to get it a little bit more.
Yeah.
But
maybe if
and
you
like San Francisco
all,
is sunk into the ground like 20 stories. Like they can just see the tops of skyscrapers sticking out of the ground cuz the mole men sank San Francisco.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll make sure to tell Miller that next week. Like, I don't know, Devin said maybe I should just hold off and read it all in one go because it's kind of confusing if you only read the issues.
Well, we'll see what his reaction is compared to Fractions. Fractions was not very good.
You're just going to happen to see Miller next week, or is he going to be somewhere? I don't know.
Actually, Mark Miller will be at Heroes Aren't Hard to Find with Tony Harris and
Tommy Lee Edwards.
Is that
more Heroes 1985 type stuff?
Mm-hmm. And more importantly, us.
As a stretch. What day is this going to be on?
Sunday, next week.
Oh, very cool.
So you'll be closed. You can actually come up.
Nice.
And it's basically they're on a War Heroes tour, and they're stopping at a few shops.
Tours now.
Yeah.
Wow.
This is the
you should see the schedule they have for this thing. Like they're going to be in New York City the day before
Saturday
till like 6 or 7, and then they have to appear in Charlotte at like 2 and 5. I'm not thinking we're getting jet lagged for like
2 weeks.
We're not going to get a lot of time with them. And then their next stop is actually 2 days later in Texas. So they get a day to drive to Texas.
Texas is huge.
I hope they're flying.
Oh, I don't know what they're doing.
I hope they wouldn't.
It would be cheaper to fly.
They're only going to be there for 3 hours. I didn't realize that.
Well, they'll be there longer, but that's all they're there sitting to sign in for is 2 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
And they're actually doing something cool. Like, the Heroes Initiative is eBaying seats in line, basically.
Wow.
For their charity, where you can go on eBay and bid to be, like, the first couple of people in line for your signage and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So it's pretty cool that they're doing all that.
Now, I'm not a stand-in-line kind of person anyway. I mean, when we go to Heroes Con and places, if there's a line, I'll just, like, keep going. But if I was a stand-in-line kind of person, that's totally how I would do it. Yeah. I'd rather pay, like, the $40 or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it'd probably end up being more than that.
Yeah.
But I'd rather pay the money and just go, I'm the one that won. I get to cut. Because I'm not a show-up 3 hours early to start standing in line person.
Sorry, dude, eBay.
But as far as what I read...
You get the Spider-Man... Mary Jane?
I did. I haven't read it yet.
Is that Terry Moore?
to go along with your other collection of Spider-Man Loves Mary Jane that you're not reading?
Correct.
That you're buying but not reading?
Correct. I'm kind of in a Immortal Iron Fist zone one right now.
I told you.
And I'm going to catch up on those. I did buy it, though. I flipped through it. The quick things, the sword is dragging. Luna Brothers have finally hit that issue where I think I'm tired of the story. Because it's not going anywhere, which is basically what they do to me every time. House of Mystery is still freaking amazing. I love it. I gave a shot on the Fraction, Remender, Chaiken, Punisher War Journal.
Is this their first one?
No, this one
they all did together?
I don't know.
This Jigsaw
It's the first one I saw, but it's actually number 5 of 6.
Yeah, that's been going on for a little while now. That's almost
really?
But Remender hasn't been writing with him.
No, Remender
just jumped on for this one.
Mid-arc.
But I gave it a shot, and Fraction's still
getting better, and Chaiken's getting worse.
Yeah. Chaiken is pretty weak throughout this issue, man.
Oh, my God. Some of these guys look like jars of peanut butter.
Oh, yeah, they do.
they look so crazy.
He drew. Oh, my God. There was one in here.
Not many artists devolve with practice. That's a hard thing to do.
There's somebody in here. It's just just a circle.
His legs are the size of a normal 16-year-old teenager, and the rest of him is the size of Barney. Is he fat or is he not? Did he get fake legs put on? Or
the crazy thing for me is I actually even I still think that he's not pulling off faces well at all. His backgrounds are still, in, even in this, they're kind of weak. In War is Hell, his art is amazing, true and through, except for occasionally the
maybe
the
he just
faces.
Doesn't like the material and he's trying to rebel through what he has to draw. I don't
but,
know.
Speaking of pulling off faces.
But yeah. I just don't. Yeah, I just don't. I don't think I'm gonna. I don't know. I'm gonna might try again in another 15 issues like I did this time. But
I dropped Punisher War Journal around issue 8.
Well, and,
yeah, that was right around did, Civil War. Right?
I did too, and then I tried again about 5 issues later, and then now I'm trying again. You know, about 10 issues later, and so I don't know. But yeah, I'm giving it a shot. Let's see. I'm sorry, Matt.
Oh, while I'm thinking,
Criminal
about it.
Is. Different. This issue is by far different.
Careful.
Than any of the. I'm just going to say that it's different, and it's part one of two.
Yeah, they are. He okay, said. Well,
that's all I'm going to say.
I saw a note from Brubaker where he said it was starting a new storyline.
He's doing
characters.
It. It's like a whole different thing now. But
as long as it's generally the same kind of feeling, then
there you
I'll take whatever he writes down.
Well, it's part one of four, but then it actually says. I thought it was. I don't know. But yeah, it's different and it's good. But
so
it's different.
Is it going back to like the original type of thing?
Is it still noir? Is it like
no, it's still okay. Noir, but it's actually now it's kind of like Devil in a Red Dress.
Devil in a Blue Dress.
Blue Dress.
Talking about the Denzel
Washington. Washington. Yeah. Devil in a Blue Dress.
Devil in a Blue Dress.
Yeah, it's kind of got that feel to it.
Okay.
It's got that kind of noir feel.
Isn't that
to
from
it.
An Elmore Leonard novel?
I think so. Actually, I have no idea.
Not a bad person.
But yeah,
style
yeah,
of
not at all.
but yeah, it's kind of got that feel to it.
I feel bad for people who haven't read any Criminal. Like there's books that you recommend to people. This is good. You should read it. But then that book is good enough in a way that people who aren't reading it, I'm just like, I feel bad for your other books for not being as
for not
good.
Being as good as this that you could be reading. I wish to a certain extent that it wasn't on the same shelf with the other Marvel stuff because
it says Icon. You can't get much farther and not be published by them
because it's not like anything Marvel. So if it was on the indie, I think more people would pick it up. Maybe that aren't because they don't buy Marvel and DC, but at the same time, I don't think people enough Marvel people.
It doesn't
are picking
look like
it up
a
either.
Marvel book, though. Yeah. Like when you say it, you're like, "Oh, it's a Marvel book," unless you already know about Icon. Oh, real quick, when you were talking about Terry Moore,
yes,
doing Spider-Man,
yes,
Echo,
yes,
was the other book that I read this. Last
I read that
week.
Last night.
It was very good.
I'm enjoying Echo as well.
That's a good series.
That was the end of the first arc, right?
Well,
it hasn't really been.
I think it was.
Yeah. It seems kind of just ongoing.
Well, it might actually be the way it ended. I can see where it's the end of a phase.
I think that's the way they're going to do it when they print out the trade and whatever, that it's going to be whatever this first file.
Like the biker guy.
Yeah.
He says he loans them a couple grand so they can get out of town. He's like, I'll pay this back. He's like, pay it back, my ass. It's worth it just to stick it to the cops.
Yeah, it was. He said, you know, he's up to something. This is my Annie because I went in on this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If anybody would like to loan me a couple of grand just because it would be worth to stick it to the cops.
Okay, but you have to do something illegal. You have to tell us about it so you can get arrested.
No problem.
The final book I wanted to throw out there that started, and it's an Avatar book, which apparently I'm the only person that listens to our show that reads Avatar books. But it's
Avatar
Crossed.
Avatar scares me, man.
It's called Crossed. It is a Garth Ennis book. It is another approach on zombies, basically.
Imagine that.
That have...
Reading Avatar's
bloody crosses of
almost
flesh
like,
ripped from their faces, apparently.
It's almost like reading an issue of Fangoria or something. You know?
There's a guy
any
holding
book.
A severed head on the cover.
Yeah.
Look at the
gets
first
a lot,
page.
It gets a lot more disturbing inside the book.
I think it's a spinal column.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't want to read that.
And it gets more disturbing after that.
But the way this one works is it's taking the approach of basically there's some sort of infection that's spread through the biting or whatever or mutilation by
a
zombie. Well, and what it does is it just makes you extremely aggressive and want to mutilate and kill other people, and that's what it is.
So acting like normal.
So it's nothing really new. It's a slightly different, more
makes you act like a fan at the Raiders game.
Yeah, it's a more grotesque
There's
approach
a book
to it. Maybe
exactly like that over there. It's I don't know. Remember if
well,
it's
black,
Ennis or if it's
Black
Warren
Gas
Ellis.
Is Warren
yeah,
Ellis.
Yeah, Black Gas.
Right, and
that's
it's kind
exactly
of
like that.
It's kind of a lot like Black Gas. But I think what this is these people actually, they get pleasure out of mutilating other people, where with Black Gas, it's kind of like a Tourette's kind of, they just freak out. But with this, it's people seeking out mutilation for pleasure and things like that.
I was going to say, because in Black Gas, they also, I guess, freak out and have orgies.
Yeah. And this is as issue zero. They haven't explained yet why these people are all of a sudden freaking out all over the world. But I don't know. I'm going to get it.
Oh,
it's one
Garth.
My
well,
thing.
A lot of comics, when they have like big events like that, they don't explain them.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like what happens in Why the Last Man.
Oh, Why the Last Man. What?
Dun, 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 dun. Segway.
It's called a Segway.
Yeah. Need a little Segway chime where you can just put it in. Ding.
There was. But no, yeah, that's a good point. Why the Last Man, which is a book that we're going to discuss now. They never they do, but they don't. I mean,
I don't think they explain it.
I think they try to explain it, but I don't know. That just doesn't make sense.
But the way they explain it, they still left doubt as to whether that's the truth.
Yeah, yeah. It seemed like a forced explanation of why all of the men on the Earth die, except for two, sort of. And the one is due to the other.
Yeah. They give you several explanations that kind of let you choose what you would like to believe.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's one of those kind of cop-out things where the writer doesn't want to say this is what it is because people were coming up with
their own
conclusions or what they liked or what they didn't like. So instead of disappointing somebody by saying this is what it is,
so you're saying he's worried more about the legacy of the book than finishing the book correctly? Maybe.
If he was more worried about the legacy of the book, he wouldn't have ended it the way he did. But
I liked it. My opinion. I liked the ending a lot.
We already had
a fight about this. I liked the ending of it.
I thought it was weak, man. It didn't make sense. It was illogical. It was an illogical, forced ending.
I had a lot bigger problem with like the last 10 issues than I did the last issue.
With the
ending, I feel like it wrapped it up okay, and I was a lot happier with issue 60 than I was with, like, I almost want to say even like 45 maybe on up.
Now I give him a lot of props for ending a book that was successful that he got a movie deal out of. And
that does not happen
nature.
A lot. Yeah. You don't ever get a solid ending.
But I do agree with what Devin was saying, is that I think that the book limped to the ending.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it was in a full sprint to the ending. I think it had a nice patch of double digit number issues where it's like, man, this is kind of just kind of puttering along instead of, you figure when he says, all right, it's ending, that it would have been like, you know, a bullet train to the end, and instead it wasn't.
And now, just to get some perspective real quick, Devin, you read the issues.
Well, I read trades through, I don't know, like 30 or something, maybe something like that, and then the rest, maybe 32, and then the rest of them were singles.
So you actually finished it long ago.
Yeah.
A couple months before us.
Yeah.
I read in a galaxy 1 far, through far 10 of the trades in about 4 days.
About 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, because we were going to do this show 2 weeks ago.
Crazy.
I was like, you know, if I'm going to be there all day, listen to these guys talk about it, it'll be ruined by the time the show is done. So I have to go read this.
And Brian, I didn't even know you were reading it.
I read it all in the trades except whatever the last trade would be. I read those issues.
Really?
Yeah.
You didn't never really talk about it. You kind of kept that on the DL.
Well, I mean, I liked it, but it was never my favorite book any month, or never my favorite trade. It's definitely
one of mine.
It's worth. I mean, I always thought that it was worth my money, but I didn't think it was spectacular.
Yeah, and I read them all in trades as the trades were being released. Well, not as the trades were being released, per se. Actually, I read probably the first six trades, maybe first five trades, like within a week or two. Because as soon as I would finish one, I had to buy the next and read it. As soon as I finished that one, I had to buy the next and read it.
Yeah, it kept a good pace for the first.
So I wasn't that way with this one. Like if relating it to Walking Dead, which is the only
I did that with Walking
the
Dead
only
as
recent
well.
Trade where I was
yeah Walking
picking
Dead
it up
Invincible
like that.
As soon as I was reading it, I was at the end.
And Invincible, both of those, as soon as I was finished with it, I needed to go buy the next edition. And I didn't think why wasn't like that at all for
me. It wasn't nearly the level of. Shall we say the darling of Dollar Bin, the Invincible books, but it was still
Kirkman.
Worth finishing.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely did, and I agree, I guess, that last trade didn't have that same kind of I don't know if maybe because I knew it was the last one.
I also think maybe they didn't do as much as they could have done with the story.
Yeah,
they
I
had
agree.
A couple scenes of things that you kind of expected were going to happen because. One guy on Earth, certain things are going to have to happen.
Yeah.
But I don't think he did as much as he could have done with the premise.
Mm-hmm. One thing that we haven't really done is we haven't really talked about the premise of the book. We just kind of jumped in as though everybody already knew we were talking about. But so Why the Last Man is a book about basically something happens, as we were saying. We don't really know what it was.
Right.
But all of a sudden, all the men, all the Y chromosomes.
At the same instant, no less.
Yeah.
At the same instant around the world. just men everywhere bleed and die.
Yeah, they just bleed out and die.
Except for Yorick and his monkey.
And his monkey.
Man and his monkey.
His awesome poop-flinging monkey.
Which is a great subject for any book or movie.
Yeah, man and his monkey. And we don't know why it happens, and we don't know why they survive, or why they
and
were the
Yorick
ones at the time.
And Yorick has kind of a deus ex. He's an escape artist.
Mm-hmm.
His monkey has been taught to help him escape and pickpocket and do all kinds of other stuff. So right from the bat, he's got kind of a, you know, before you read anything else, this is how he's going to escape certain crazy woman situations.
But at the same time, I guess kind of a good, cool way of them going about it is they give him that, but he's certainly not a tough guy. Certainly not a guy that's used to really being able to take care of himself.
He's a wuss.
I'm pretty sure he definitely gets his tail handed to him a couple of times.
Yeah, he does.
Females that probably shouldn't be able to.
So, I mean, he's despite the fact that he's the only man, he's put in a position where he's being protected and abused by women in the entire series.
Yeah. And he's kind of got this thing where he feels responsibilities that he has if he's the last man alive, then he owes it to himself not to die so the human race doesn't die.
But sometimes he also feels he owes it to himself to die just to complete whatever's going on.
There's people to bolster both opinions around him. There's groups of women that want to kill him so humanity will die.
Mm-hmm.
There's groups of women that want to save him so humanity has a chance. The Manazons. The Amazons,
the Manazons.
Which actually, I think there's some historical about that where they were cutting off one breast so that the bow and arrow would be closer to the chest to make it easier for them.
Yeah, and so they do that. And
I don't care if you're shooting bows and arrows or not, that's just wrong people.
Yeah.
And
his sister
falls into that crew. For the man who is this escape artist man who's lucky enough to survive, he also has a plethora of a very eclectic group of people along to support him to come after him. His sister, who ends up being kind of the opposition to all mandom afterwards.
Yeah.
Whose name is Hero.
Yeah.
Yeah. His mother is a government worker who ends up she ends up being assistant to the president.
Yeah. Real quick, I thought was a funny that the person who ended up getting kicked up to president was the Secretary of Agriculture or something like that, because was the first woman in line all the way down the chain.
Which is a true thing, because I remember hearing that discussed in like government classes about
goes down the line until you get to somebody.
Yeah, so she ends up being and so luckily his mother works for the U.S. government and has direct contact to. Hook him up with his own agent.
Yeah. What was her name? 355.
355.
Right? Yep. She has no name. She has a number.
Yeah.
That reminds me.
She does tell him her name, though.
She does. I don't remember what it was.
Yeah, I don't remember what it was either. It was didn't matter.
And we don't want to walk over to the books, so we're just going to
be lazy about it.
Going off what we remember here.
The art.
You can look it up. And by the way, spoilers. At this point on, we're going to start doing spoilers. Thanks for jumping in. For those of you just joining us now, we will be talking about Why the Last Man with spoilers. But
the art in this series, it didn't hit me as that dynamic, but I went back and looked at some of it. And through the first five trades, while 355 is just being his buddy and protecting him, then they slowly start to fall in and get attracted to each other. She gets more attractive.
Yeah.
She's ugly at the beginning of the book.
Yeah.
And then she becomes more womanly and more.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's kind of Whoopi Goldberg at the beginning. She is. And then towards the end, she gets a lot more attractive when they start to talk about their feelings and stuff.
Well, and I wonder, as a character, she's also tends to loosen up a little around him, kind of as a friend thing. But
the pantsuit, kind of.
Yeah.
You can't be attractive in a pantsuit. Hillary Clinton.
Well, there's lots of reasons why she's not attractive, though.
Yeah, as far as character development goes and how you're kind of saying that, I mean, I think this is a book that is pretty thorough with his character development.
It is. Favorite characters?
I think as far as character development and character changing throughout, I think 355 is the one that really evolved the most.
Yeah. I mean, even York
doesn't evolve
that much.
Of course, he did spend the most time
much.
On her, though. No. Yeah. Yeah. He's almost spent more time on 355 than he did
about the York. Only I thing mean, he accomplishes is to quit whining about his girlfriend.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. They show in that last part, they kind of show him like going through his evolution and watching, like they do little flashbacks of like how he reacted in situations. And, I mean, yeah, he just, that's it. He really just kind of accepted.
I think he's kind of painted as a character where even though he's the hero of the book or whatever, the title character, you're not always supposed to like him.
This is true. Yeah.
Just because
he's the last guy doesn't make him a good guy. He's just... any douchebag could be the last guy if you were stuck in his situation. Which brings me to the point. If you were really the last man on Earth, this was my main bone with the book.
Bone?
Did it on purpose. If you were the last man on Earth, I don't care what comic book this is, I don't care who's writing it, you would not be worried about your girlfriend in Australia for that long. You would get over it.
Yeah, not for that long. I mean, I'll give him a month.
Beautiful
or two.
Women Maybe. Would have to have no choice but to try you out
because
there's nobody else.
I think what it was.
You would forget about her. I'm sorry.
What it was is that was his link to the before the event happened. I think this it was more. Her, it wasn't as much her and how amazing she was as to A, they point out he knew she was about to break up with him.
Yeah.
And that was like in the back of his head the whole time.
Yeah.
And he just had to.
It's his closure point.
Yeah. He had to have that. It was his only link to the previous.
To normalcy.
Life. Yeah. His sister and things like that, which he changed drastically as well.
Yeah.
And I think that's more of what it was. I think that's why he was seeking her out.
If he could find her unchanged by the madness.
Yeah. I think it wasn't as much his love for her, how great of a person she was.
I think they just wanted that as a plot point.
Well, to give him something to go around the world for.
It was a plot point as well.
Well, not just that. I mean, to give him a... If he's not that way, then the book's just about him scoring all the time. So he has to have...
Basically.
Yeah.
It's an awesome book to me. Yeah.
he has to have some sort of reason for not wanting to.
Why the last man?
Because like you said...
Conquest.
I mean,
there's only so many times you're going to be able to say no to every woman in the world wanting you to help repopulate.
I think that's the only
person in the world that gets to use the line, let's repopulate species, baby.
You know...
I think that's what it was. I think they had to have a reason for him to say no. So they clung to that as long as they could, because otherwise he's just, we got 5 minutes, kind of a situation.
Well, it didn't last.
He does slip.
Yeah.
Yeah. He gets that one girl pregnant.
Slips a couple of times.
Yeah. The girl, Beth 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beth 2. That's
awesome. I liked Beth 2, though. I thought she was
I liked her character.
She was a very likable character.
And she, I kind of expected a lot more of people thinking they were falling in love with him.
Mm-hmm.
Just because he's the last guy and that's your option.
Well, that did happen.
It did happen, but she kind of said right after they did it, she's like, you know you're the last guy and this is my last chance to have sex, so let's don't get all freaky about it.
Yeah. That was another weird thing about that last issue.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
The Beths ending up together?
No, it wasn't
No, Beth. It was his sister and who?
And his original girlfriend.
And his original girlfriend. That's right.
Yeah.
Beth 1. Hook up, and that is just...
It
wasn't
weirdest,
right. It didn't make sense.
Can you play Beth by Kiss in the background of this while you know?
But it didn't make sense. That was another one of those illogical things about the end of that series.
I expected a lot more homosexuality.
Really? More?
A lot more. Everybody on Earth now has one sex to choose from.
Yeah.
But people aren't going to stop meeting...
But you're looking at how much... In the series, and I don't remember because... How much time actually passes?
It was, like 5 years.
Yeah, is it 5 years?
Five,
I thought it was just
years,
a couple years. Is
no,
it five
it's
or
a
six?
Long time.
Yeah, there's
like five.
Yeah. There's some weird periodic jumps of how far.
Well,
up to
like trade 9, it's like 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like between trades, there's like year jumps,
mm-hmm.
and then the last trade is like 30 years later or something.
Yeah.
So
well, the last issue.
It's an extended period.
Mm-hmm.
Long enough that people would start to question what their rules are about their own,
which they do.
Choices.
I mean, they definitely show it, but it still shows that there's a lot of women out there that are just, disgusted by it. I guess.
Yeah.
And all the the fake mans run around.
Yeah, a lot more
with
fake mans.
Fake mustaches and
the fake.
And they're like commenting him on his good disguise.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, wow, like, look,
you
awesome.
Almost look like a real man. How'd you get those boobs strapped down so small? That's really good work.
Well, they had the fake man pleasure houses and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
They're all wearing flannel.
And like people, there was one point where somebody grabbed him. And he thought he had been caught as a guy, but they thought they had caught him being a hooker.
Yeah.
Like being a fake man. And they're like, you're not supposed to do that. He's like, I'm sorry, I'll change my ways.
But, yeah, he definitely does some globetrotting, too, throughout that book.
He does.
He travels a lot.
It's all through America, mm-hmm. all the way over to the left coast. He goes to Australia. Mm-hmm. He goes to
Japan. And France, I think they end up at the end.
He ends up in France.
All apparently looking for
yeah,
his girlfriend.
Who, you, by that time, it had been so long, you knew it was going to go wrong when they finally met up.
You couldn't.
I mean, at least he finally got some, but...
I mean, even the first, you know, I think it's one of the first time he dreams about her, you know, I mean, he's dreaming it, you know, so it's in his mind subconsciously, yeah. But she's like, don't come looking for me, you know, stay where you are.
And yet he doesn't listen to himself.
No, mm-mm. He doesn't ever. I think, and I guess one of his biggest points of evolution comes when he, what is it, the fourth trade? Safe word, I think.
Oh, right. Yeah.
When I saw the title of that, I was like, oh, yes.
This is going to be finally awesome. This book is going where I want it to.
Well, I don't want to say that.
It still ended up being like a good story. I was like, come on. Do it for real.
But, yeah,
I
mean,
forget what her name was. 355's friend.
Yeah.
I don't, helps him out.
7-Eleven.
Helps him out.
But, yeah, I mean, that's where you see the evolution of they point out the whole, hey, you're putting yourself in these situations because you want to die, because you don't feel you're supposed to be alive. And
yeah.
That kind of opens the reader's
eyes. Which you would have survivor's guilt. That is, like, the ultimate case of survivor's guilt.
Mm-hmm.
And survivor's responsibility, like we've alluded to, like... Mm-hmm. It's not a situation where you're just left and that's it. That's a lot of expectations that people are going to have.
Yeah.
And this is a guy who's not used to responsibility.
No.
No. Not at all.
He is an out-of-work escape artist.
Who has, like, you know, his
mother is rich in the government and his girlfriend is on Australia. He's got nothing to do but train his monkey. I mean, he's not prepared to be the last guy on Earth.
His only friend in the world, ampersand.
It's like one step beneath one of us being the last man on Earth, basically.
Speaking of favorite characters, I really liked Ampersand.
Oh, Ampersand, yeah.
Ampersand was awesome.
Yeah, that's a cool
name. What
does
that name mean?
I
forgot.
What?
Ampersand, oh, it's the name of the that and
little,
symbol.
Yeah, it's that little symbol.
Like Starsky and Hutch, That's the name of that symbol.
Well, he's from like a very literary family, and he was
yeah. Him and his sister were named after Shakespearean characters.
York and Hero, you know.
And that was another problem I had with the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
It was Ampersand's end.
Yeah,
you know. Yeah. Well, I mean, there's one thing. When you started,
did you cry when the monkey was dead?
Just a little. But no, you know,
I cried a lot.
you see where the scene's starting out. You know, they're walking in the cold, and Ampersand looks like he's done for anyway. You know, and you kind of just think that they're just going to walk along and he's going to talk to him, and then all of a sudden, Amp's just kind of not going to be breathing anymore or something. No. He has to feed him like a poison date or something like that from like Indiana Jones. and then you get to watch him like painfully die in his arms and with the realization he's looking up at him. He's like, you just killed me, you know? And I don't know, there's a little bit of thank you in there maybe. I don't know, but it's just... No, Brian K. Vaughan, no!
Throw one more poop. Monkey threw a lot of feces in that book.
Yeah. That reminds me, he actually wasn't a helper monkey. He was an experimental monkey.
I forgot about that. He got switched with another monkey.
Yeah. That's right. He wasn't actually a helper monkey.
There was somebody somewhere had this lab
all over his apartment,
and this monkey was like doing all this cool stuff. And they're like, "Where did he learn this?"
Yeah.
And didn't they meet Ampersand's girlfriend at some point?
They met some other
Yeah,
other
he had a monkey. Little female monkey, and they were sitting there watching him get it on.
Let's get it on.
But the character, York's journey throughout this, in the beginning especially, is to find his girlfriend, mm-hmm. and then it's to figure out what happened. But, I mean, as a reader, I think we could really care less if he found his girlfriend. We just wanted to know what happened.
Yeah, wanted to know what happened.
And he was so worried about that. Yeah. We're like, how long is this going to take for them to get to the point, because they spent so much time with the girlfriend and him getting in trouble and mm-hmm. getting saved by 355.
Mm-hmm.
I was starting to wonder if it was going to be like Walking Dead, where they're not going to explain it.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew it was finished before I started reading it, so I knew there would be some kind of end to it.
Mm-hmm.
But the first couple trades feels like Robert Kirkman said with Walking Dead, you're never going to know what happened.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the situation that matters and not the cause.
Right.
And I kind of got that feeling from the first couple trades, but then they finally started talking about it.
Yeah, but like you said, they still left it up in the air, so.
Yeah, they did.
But
I never thought that it, to me it seemed like the book should have been about what happened and whatever sort of conclusion comes about, either trying to repopulate or figure out what happened and why. And instead, the book is about him trying to find his girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
I think part of it slowing down was, and part of the end of it being a little more disappointing than, I mean, the beginning is really great. For me, it slowed down because it's like, I don't care about it. Why is that what the book is about? The book should be about,
you know,
the rest of the stuff.
It's kind of like, as far as the book goes, I mean, that's all the character cares about. And the character is not a big, you know, hero kind of character. Yeah. Now, when you read something like The Walking Dead, where we don't know how the event happened, and it was said that we weren't not going to know, and, you know, it's funny, we don't care. Do any of us care how that happened?
No. You just don't need to read it.
We don't. Think it's, but,
yeah, I also think that kind of the difference for that, me too, is that The Walking Dead, everybody is a small character.
Yeah.
Well, so I don't expect Rick to, you know, bust up a worldwide virus conspiracy or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Right. You don't expect him to go track it down. His mom worked for the government. They give him a secret agent to follow.
Yeah.
I
mean,
I expected, all right, this is going to go somewhere.
He's got what he needs to do the job.
But see, I guess when I was reading it, and I compare it a little bit more closely, I guess, to Walking Dead, because it was, to me, reading Why the Last Man, that book, I am more disappointed with it now that I have read the end and had a conclusion, whereas I would have been with, as say, Walking Dead, because, you know, what he said with Walking Dead is this could go on forever. You know, the thing about zombie books that he said is that they always end, or and they really can't. What happens after that? What happens after that?
There shouldn't be an ending.
I think the same thing with Why the Last Man. I would have been happier if it didn't have this, in my opinion, rather loosely stupid conclusion that I think was thrown together.
Because there's enough places to go in the world, and there's enough women in the world.
Yeah.
There would always be death threats.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
There would always be people trying to fall in love with him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There would always be him giving girls lines to sleep with him. It would be fairly easy for him to get away with.
And
so basically what you're saying is that you really just wanted a porn book out of it.
Why the Last Dong? You know, Ron Jeremy, we'll talk.
Lord, I hope not.
But I think if he'd have taken that approach instead of putting this, and even where you said his mom worked for government and stuff like that, but there really almost is no government. I mean, they're getting stronger, but if I didn't put as much emphasis, I kind of put my emphasis on the adventure and the path there more than looking for a conclusion. I mean, I wanted to know what happened, but I was able to accept maybe not ever knowing, just like with Walking Dead. I didn't expect them to come to some conclusion of, oh, this is what happened, and we can save humanity now because we can, you know, clone people, which is kind of a weird approach because you end up seeing, like,
well, I guess
30 years later, it's him as a clone. But I just didn't see it as being realistic enough or at least logical enough.
The difference, too, might be is that by the time we all jumped into this, we might have known there was going to be an end. Mm-hmm. Or at least I did by the time I jumped into it. He said it was going to have a ending point.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, Kirkman is not saying.
Right.
As far as he's concerned, as long as the books are selling and people want them, he'll write it forever.
Yeah. Right.
So I guess the difference maybe, too, is that Walking Dead, we're not looking for or wanting a conclusion, mm-hmm. with why we knew there was going to be one. And maybe because that's it wasn't going to be satisfying because of that.
Well, well Kurtzman's yeah, made his you know, he's made his characters pretty expendable for the most part. I mean,
yeah.
you,
I fully expect Rick to die any
point,
day now.
Oh yeah,
oh, yeah.
Any
I
point,
thought he did die.
Yeah.
I thought
yeah,
he did.
I did too for a minute there. But and my favorite part of, you know, the whole Why the Last Man as a whole was the characters and, you know, uh-huh, their interactions with one another. Mm-hmm. And honestly, like, that's when the book took a nosedive for me, was when they brought in Dr. Mann's dad, mm-hmm, and started yeah, talking about the whole clone thing, mm-hmm, and everything like that. Yeah. Like, right then, I was just like, ugh. You know, I wasn't as excited about reading mm-hmm, it every month when it came out. In fact, I started saving up a few issues to read at a time at that yeah, point. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have to read it every month anymore. I just didn't care as much.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like once that was put out there and York lost his importance and everything after that just kind of seemed to, it was whatever, you know?
Yeah, I mean, definitely early on, as you're meeting these characters and you're starting to meet and you see his sisters, the Amazon, and you start, it's like traveling across country. And even, I think, when he was in the U.S., it was kind of when it was at its height of adventure and exciting yeah, story. And then when he went to Australia, that was still kind of cool when he was in Australia and you met the other, the pirate chick
yeah,
kind of
yeah,
who came
yeah,
over. Yeah, I awesome, really liked her as a character a lot, too.
Gets him some on the ship.
But then kind of after that, after that is when the Pirate character Beauty, development kind of...
It had to be said. It's but, a golden opportunity.
But yeah, I do think his adventures while in the States were kind of the best part of that story.
I agree. I'm looking at Trade 2, mm-hmm, and there is, in the beginning of the, before the book starts, has a little disclaimer telling you what happened, but he uses it to throw some stats out there, which are apparently true.
Mm-hmm.
If this did happen, this is what would have happened to the world fact-wise. 495 of the Fortune 500 CEOs are now right, dead.
Yeah.
99% of the world's landowners would have died. 95% of commercial pilots, truck drivers, ship captains, 92% of all violent felons... That's another big one. Yeah. 99% of all mechanics, electricians, construction workers, but 51% of the planet's agricultural labor force is still alive.
Hmm.
And then this is the big one for me. Well,
that's drastically different outside of the United States than it is.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
when you have to start true, wondering if it wasn't a decent idea.
But as far as like war going on, it says 14 nations, including Spain and Germany, have women soldiers who have served in ground combat. None of the United States' 200,000 female troops have ever seen ground combat. That would make a big difference.
At least publicized.
Yeah.
What was that? What was it? None of the what?
The United States has 200,000 female troops.
Uh-huh.
None of them have ever seen ground combat.
Huh.
In 14 other countries, like Spain and Germany, they have a lot.
Right.
But none of our women have ever been in
hmm,
in military combat.
This publicized.
Mm-hmm.
My honest opinion is that yeah, number is different because the U.S. does not want to promote women doing things like that because it's still very taboo.
Mm-hmm.
There are women that have jobs that are doing things mm-hmm, where they're killing people, mm-hmm, but the U.S. government and the U.S. yeah, media does not want to market.
Mm-hmm.
They want to market female soldiers. Yeah. This is probably going to get completely cut out, but
nah, I'm not cutting
they want to market female soldiers and female members of the military because yeah, that's a great image. However, they don't want to market, you know, female action stars killing people, which mm-hmm, is how they
yeah,
do
this
yeah,
is true.
Right.
Well, like in the Israeli woman,
yes,
she caused a lot of trouble, the mm-hmm, Israeli captain or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And in the same disclaimer, it says women between 18 and 26 have performed compulsory military service in the Israeli Defense Force
mm-hmm,
for at least like 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, which I wasn't aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
It does show differences between nations as far as where the men die and what yeah, happens to their jobs.
And a huge change as far as, like, all shipping basically shut down.
Yeah.
You know, yeah,
all like lines
all
cut
all the airplanes
off,
that fell out of the sky. And all the light switches that can't get fixed anymore.
Yeah.
Weird stuff like that.
Light switches, okay.
99% of electricians, that would cause
bugs
eventually.
Bugs that can't be smashed.
Yeah. Plumbing, you know. I mean, that's serious issues that, you know.
Oh, yeah. Like one of the first things in the series... A supermodel is now a garbage person
mm-hmm,
yeah,
because she was She's popular, famous, and rich because of her body.
Yeah.
And now that men now don't nobody gives a crap her anymore,
yeah.
She's a garbage chick.
More than that, she picks up dead bodies.
Yeah. Yeah. She's making bank. Ooh,
I'll get five cans of beans for this one.
Yeah.
It was like my last paycheck.
What'd you guys think about like the little side stories, like the theater play and stuff like that?
No,
did you think those were lulls in the?
Yes, yeah. They were lulls.
I didn't care a bit about that.
Yeah.
He didn't want to run out of good ideas, so I think he kept a couple side things where if he didn't know how to progress, he could do this real quick, and it would give him time to think of a better story.
Mm-hmm.
To do.
I think you actually warned me about, you're like, yeah, the one trade, you're going to read it, man. The last story. It's got nothing to do with anything, man.
Yeah, that theater stuff was pretty.
I mean, I could see some of that happening, like people having a problem with theater portrayals, but I didn't really care.
Yeah, that was the point.
It didn't make it interesting that I realized, okay, that would happen.
I think the kind of good is something that's good news for anybody that hadn't been reading it now is that they have it all in trades. I think it's a much better and easier read in a trade than it is individually.
Yeah. He's starting to collect in hardback now too, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
I mean, like something like Walking Dead, having done both, to compare it to Walking Dead again, having done both of Walking Dead is just a solid a book picking up individual issues. You get pissed at the cliffhanger.
Oh,
yeah.
Because
you have to wait. You know, with Kirkman, it may not just be 30 days, it may be 60 in between issues. But I don't think you have that same sort of thing with most issues of Why.
This wasn't, there weren't a lot of cliffhangers.
Yeah.
It kind of just paused until the next issue. I mean, there was a couple.
Yeah, I think.
But it wasn't like every issue something crazy was going to happen.
Each one was definitely kind of the end of an arc. I think it was. Do you guys think that there would be any potential for spinoff stories? Like that took place maybe during the same time period, but not with the actual Last Man, but maybe other people?
Yeah, there's so many stories that could have been done that weren't put in there. Other places in the world that didn't know there was another guy or didn't believe it or didn't care that had nothing to do with the Last Man. Just the fact that there are no men around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You could do a lot of stories with that.
With Fables, you have the Jack of Tales stuff, things like that. I mean, that was a good idea for a spinoff. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think there would be. I think there would have been more potential, of course, while the story was going on to do the little spinoff things or things that take place during. But I still think it's there. I don't think it's ever going to happen, but I think it's there. I think there is a market for it.
Like the story where they came across this town, and it seemed like this nice little town. There's all these women. They all have their jobs, and they all broke out of prison.
Yeah.
It was a women's prison. The guards all died.
Mm-hmm.
So they just left and started up a town and didn't tell anybody who they were, yeah.
But they ran a tight ship.
They did.
And I mean, it was a successfully run town. And, yeah, I mean, there's definitely stories like that there that just didn't work.
Because York in his travels meets a lot of interesting people.
Mm-hmm.
So they've always got the option to, you know, they could have gone back and done some backstories on some of these people and shown, like, what their lives were like, you know, before the big event and then... See, and then you know where they end up, you know, obviously, if you've read the series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if Vertigo was a bigger branch of DC Comics, I could have seen, you know, I mean, like they do with their big crossovers and some of their bigger stories, is like Devin just said, kind of go back and tell certain, like, little side stories, one-shots or miniseries and stuff, but...
Like the Ninja Girl.
DC doesn't look that same way.
Kind of just jumping around as I am now. The covers were pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The covers were nice. The art itself was kind of cartoony for the tone of the book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought I would have liked to see somebody a little darker maybe draw it.
Yeah.
I dug it.
At certain points. I mean, it worked. Yeah. It didn't pull me out of the book. But
the coloring is also kind of that way.
Yeah, the coloring's kind of soft. Of course, Vertigo uses the paper.
Yeah.
And I prefer this kind of paper stock and all that stuff, I think.
Yeah, like I said, it doesn't take away from it. I mean, I'd probably make a couple changes.
But the covers are... I mean, it's kind of the same situation as with Fables, is that it's kind of a Vertigo thing, though. Mm-hmm. Like, the Fables covers are, you know, they go crazy for the covers.
Right. Yeah, unbelievable.
Have you ever seen, like one of the process gifs for the Fable covers?
No.
There's a couple of them out floating around the internet where it shows you the stages, screenshots of the stages,
where it gets shaded and then deshaded, colored, and shaded again, and then it's insane. I can't even...
Wow. Cliff Chang does that.
He builds them very, very crazy.
Yeah. Cliff Chang does that with his covers on his blog, where he'll show you his progress so you can see all the various stages. I always think that's really interesting.
It'll change a shade, and then you're like, why did he just do that to the picture? And then it's just another layer. There's like seven layers on the Fables covers.
Yeah.
It's insane.
What do you guys think about the possibility of an upcoming movie for this?
I don't know.
There's a lot they could cut out. I'll say that. There's a lot that doesn't have to be done. A lot of comic movies, most people's complaint is, how can you fit that big a story? But I think there's enough in here that was supplemental that you could just leave out and still do the main story.
I think it could be a pretty sweet action adventure movie.
I don't think that,
I think they could make a TV series out of it.
I don't think the ending is a movie ending, though.
Well, no, and what I was actually going to say is until the series ended, I would have said there's no way that can be a movie. But now that the series has ended, I say that it can be a movie, but they should redo the ending.
Well, with the liberties they take making movies these days, it most likely will have a different ending.
Yeah.
I Am Legend. A great ending, and they changed that. So, well, there's kind of this running thing now with some of the entertainment that's coming out now, where really awesome situations for stories come out, and they're not executed the way you would like them to be.
Yeah.
Walking Dead, Why the Last Man, I Am Legend, they all have these kind of survivor situations where the whole world is affected by something.
Right.
And it all kind of revolves around the same theme, but they're all executed very differently. Like, one guy's the last human, one guy's the last man, one guy's just trying to protect his family or whatever. But they're all done very differently as far as what they try to deal with. Walking Dead just tries to deal with, like, what would you have to do to survive? What morals would you break? Why the Last Man is more about what would be important to you if you were in a situation. And whereas I Am Legend is just like, do you want to die?
How much can you withstand before you decide to just kill yourself?
Yeah. Or what's it going to take for you to break what you previously had for your choices in life?
And enforcing a wrap up on this. This book won an Eisner this year.
Yeah.
And this is Trade 2. It won an Eisner before. So what was it for?
I think the earliest.
What category?
I think
for this year,
I think best series.
Finite.
Do you remember any of the other nominees?
No,
I don't either. But I think
this year's Eisners doesn't speak well.
No, it
for
doesn't.
That.
But I think there were one or two other nominees that I thought deserved it more than this. I don't think it's the best thing out there right now.
I don't think I could see over the life of that series of it deserving multiple nominations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
And even multiple awards. You know? But you know, for this past season, even when it was much better, it would have never been my favorite book.
Really?
So from a personal standpoint, I would have never given it an Eisen.
But I will say, though, for even for all the gripes that we have about it, it's one of the most thought-provoking books that I've read in a while, where you actually have to stop reading for a minute sometimes and think about what you would have done in that situation, or what that says about
nice
people.
Cabin in the Midwest.
Yeah.
I'll just get full of honey.
I was going to say, I just would have moved into the Playboy Mansion.
Just get a doctor to screen women for me and send me the clean ones. I'll repopulate.
I like it. But yeah, I mean.
And man. I still give BKV credit for ending it.
Yeah, that was bold move.
It was bold.
Unless Vertigo forced it on him.
We got Yorick looking like Einstein at the very end there.
Yeah. It was a good book. It was, and like I said, earlier in its career, in its life cycle, I would have recommended it for best series for sure. But after it wrapped up and I get to look back at everything, there's other books out there.
I'd say for the first 40 issues, I would have said that. I mean, it was always, when I was reading it,
it was pretty solid.
It was always one of my favorite books, like that, you know, Walking Dead. I don't know. I forget what else.
Oh, I forgot.
Oh,
I
and Fables.
Asked
that Walking Dead and Fables were basically my, you know, the ones that I couldn't wait to come out every week.
I asked everybody else's favorite character, but I forgot to say the Russian. Yeah. The Russian chick who everybody thought was just kind of like a lovesick puppy looking for the last man so she could she could have him or whatever, but she ended up being a Russian spy, and she could not speak English.
Yeah,
I can't remember any specific examples, but some of the best lines in the entire series was her trying to talk.
Yeah, she was always pretty funny.
She said the craziest stuff.
And mean on a sniper rifle.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
The sniper battles, that was awesome.
And a lot of that was, a lot of, again, side stories where York wasn't in them, but they were still really good and could have easily been kind of spinoffish, but... That's it. We're done.
We are.
That's why The Last Man. If for some reason you haven't read it and you just listen to this whole show.
Why?
The why? Last Man.
I hope if anything, I would like to make let you come away with it is worth reading.
Yeah.
No matter what negativeness we said about it, it's still worth reading for sure.
Yeah, just know the negativity came from the end.
Yeah,
and yeah. So the whole I'll probably read it again in a couple of years once
I'll happily read it again. Yeah. So, hope you guys.
Really, I mean, there's a lot to work through, too. So, try the first couple of trades and see how you like it.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, well, actually, back when they were only about 5 trades deep, I read the first one and I didn't like it.
Oh, yeah.
And I just put it down. I was like, it doesn't do anything for me. And then I went back recently and read it all again. And it was a lot better than I read it the first time. I guess, depending on what you've read.
Mm-hmm.
In between, you are more open to other stuff.
Hope you guys enjoyed our clean Richard's Comics and Collectibles show.
I said that twice.
Clean-ish. And thanks for listening. Stop by here, one of our lovely places that we love to come and enjoy time. Say hi to Brennan.
And do not call us and try and sell us baseball cards. We get at least 7 calls a day. Do you guys buy Hot Wheels? Do you guys buy Beanie Babies?
In all fairness, it is Richard's Comics and Collectibles.
That's his fault. That's not mine. Yeah. Literally, if you brought us sports cards, we would have to buy them 100 for a penny, and then they would still sit here. We could not sell them.
The more you know.
Ding, ding.